You do indeed have breast cancer. It's already spread to multiple lymph nodes. It's running through you like wildfire. And we have to treat you urgently and aggressively. So I knew it. And when he called, I said, okay. And this is the weird thing. And I know your adult audience will identify with this. My plan, I hadn't told my kids yet. I figured I'm going to make them cry over milk that hasn't spilt yet. I want to have information before I start freaking them out. They were 13 and 15 at the time. My 15-year-old daughter had a college counseling appointment that night. So I get the call at 6. She's got to be at this college meeting at 6:30. Wow. And so I meet there and it was just, I drove her there. And it was so bizarre trying to focus on her, literally focusing on her. And then also thinking, oh my God, am I going to live to see her in college?
What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and it's just Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And I am so excited that you guys are here. Now, one thing I want to say to you guys is thank you, because we're almost at 100,000 downloads. And I'm really, really stoked that you guys are pouring into the community the way you are and following my guests and really just being a straight talker and somebody who's really going out there to improve the world. Now, you guys know that I look for the best humans on the planet to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. I couldn't think of a better guest than who I have here today. She's gonna kick your ass into reality, and I freaking love her for it. Her name is Fitz Kohler, and she is from fitzness.com. She's a dynamic personality who I just can't wait to get into her. Okay. So not just a noisy and bossy, but she's compelling, right? So she's an author of multiple books, including My Noisy Cancer Comeback, Your Healthy Cancer Comeback, Six to Strong, and Healthy Cancer Comeback Journal. So she brings an extraordinary blend of energy and expertise to the show. And I cannot wait to get in this with her, because I love people that come on here who have been through something and are showing you how to get impact in the world and also be able to do something significant as well. So thank you so much for being here, Fitz. I am super stoked you're here. How are you?
I am spectacular, and I very much appreciate your enthusiasm for me, Nina. Thank
you. It's not hard. It's not hard. Really, really good to have you here, seriously. And I would like to get into showing people who you are. And so the first question that I always ask is, who are you? Because I'm always very interested on where people go with this. So who are you, Fitz? Who are you?
Well, I think it's probably most interesting to focus on who I am to them, right? What's my role in other people's lives? So I'm a highly credentialed fitness expert. I've been teaching fitness since I turned 14. I have a master's in exercise and sports sciences. I've had the blessing of teaching fitness all across the world. In person, via keynote presentations, TV, radio, books, magazine. The laser focus of my company is to make a mass impact to help people live better and longer by making fitness understandable, attainable, and fun. I'm also a professional race announcer. So I host some of the largest, most iconic running events in America, from the Los Angeles Marathon to Buffalo Marathon, Fargo, Gasparilla, you name it. I make a lot of happy noise at those start and finish lines to celebrate people who are doing the thing I want them to do with it, which is exercise and living well. And of course, I have these books, and I beat up on cancer a few years ago. It beat up on me, but thankfully I got the best of it. And you know, I love animals, and I love living in the Sunshine State, and I'm as happy as a clam and very grateful for every second I get on this earth.
Do you think that's something that you are always grateful for? When you pause and say that you've been grateful for everything you've gotten on this earth, which sounds like a lot and a lot of fun, actually. It sounds like you're taking life and making life yours, and you're taking life by the horns, and I love that. And I'm just wondering, was that something that you've always looked at life for, or did cancer kind of give you that perspective in life?
Yeah, so that's a loaded question. There's a lot of answers to, but number one, I was born with the sunshiny personality. It's genuine. I wake up and I'm so happy to be awake, and I'm thrilled about most things. It's probably ad nauseum. Right. My mom gave me the creepy tidbit once I became an adult that I was conceived at Disney World, which is both hilarious and creepy. But so I was conceived at Disney World, and this sunny disposition is legit. I'm also a real pragmatic person, and that's a blessing to me because I can rarely find a reason to be a hag, to be miserable. It, you know, I look around, you know, and there's children with cancer, and I think, oh, everything in my life is so much better than that. And then I look at what's going on in Israel and Gaza, and I think, well, everything in my life is better than that. And I've always done that. So, you know, it's part nature. And then there's this part of me that makes decisions, and it's the pragmatic side of me, which is good news because anybody can be like this. All the people are like, no, right. I'm just gloomy. All right. You know, unless you've got mental illness and you need a physician for it, you can make choices. You can make choices not to bitch and moan about the traffic jam you're in. Yep. I mean, whatever, it's traffic, right? And then the fact that you show up to work a little late, do you have to make bring everybody in on your misery? Oh, guys, I sat in traffic. It was the worst. And drag everybody down with you. So part nature and then part deliberate.
Right. It's, I love the way you said that you have to make choices too. Like, is that something that you feel was a big part of your success? Because I think that one of the things is we don't manage our thoughts. And so we immediately start to, you know, we think about something, we want to go for it, and then we pause to overthink it, which is always a problem. Like, do you find yourself, because you have a beautiful career and a lot of great things that you've done and are doing, and it sounds like fun. It sounds like it's something you love. I mean, even just reading about it, I see your excitement in it. So is that something that you feel like is part of your pragmatic side? I see it. I got to do it. I'm going to make a decision.
So the decision, the ability to make good decisions came after failing a whole bunch, after making a bunch of really bad decisions. I speak at universities and my whole presentation is based off of my stupid ideas and my failures because, you know, we could harp on the fact that everything about my career is great now. And for the most part it is, but there was a long time where I was trying to get past my own stupidity. And a real good example is I used to be a competitive kickboxer. So I fought in a ring for 10 years with, you know, I'd get out in front of thousands of people with an opponent who wanted to knock me unconscious. And when I was doing that, people started noticing. I started becoming featured in various magazines, a lot of sporting magazines, Ultimate Athlete, Kickboxer, Black Belt, you name it. They were doing stories on me. And inevitably, what would happen is they'd fly me across the country to California, take these beautiful photos, talk to me. And then when the article came out, they were awful. They were god awful. I mean, maybe the pictures were cute, but they would make up quotes and the writers just didn't get it. And I was also not only a good fighter, but I was an expert. I was a fitness expert, a credentialed person. And my advice mattered. And they would butcher the advice or they would make it up. And I really, what I really wanted to do was write the articles, but I was just too chicken to ask. I was too chicken to ask. And so this went on for years. I would do the feature and then I'd go to the bookstore and I'd just be so mad. Or they'd spell my name wrong. Come on, it's four letters, F-I-T-Z. Right. It's not Fritz, it's not Fifi, it's Fit. So, anywho. Or cobbler, it's Kohler. Come on, do a little research if you're a journalist.
Let me pause you for a second though, because that's very interesting, right? That somebody with such a strong competitive mind and you're going in there knowing that there's an opponent that wants to take you down and you still stepped in the ring. Isn't it very interesting how you stepped in the ring to kick ass and do what you had to do, but yet we're chicken about asking or afraid to ask? Tell me about that. That's interesting.
That's exactly where I'm going. So I left training one day, practice for, I was training for an event. I probably had a fight in 2 weeks and it was me versus about four to six different people. What we would do is, you know, Susie would fight me round one and then Bob would fight me round two and three and four. And I would stay in the ring the whole time and they would switch. They were always fresh. Wow. It was brutal. I was better than all of them, it was brutal. And so I leave that really tough workout and I get in my Jeep and I go to the bookstore and I get a magazine and I get in my car and I'm like, son of a gun. I'm so angry over it. And then it dawns on me, you fool, you just fought four people bigger than you. You're about to go into a ring with someone who wants to knock you unconscious in front of thousands of people and you're afraid to make a phone call. And it was just that light bulb went off and I thought, what am I afraid of? And so I went back to the office. I picked up the phone. I called one of my the editors I knew, and all the editors seemed to like me. They were friendly and so forth. So I called and I said, "Hey, Bob, it's Fitz Kohler." "Oh, hey, Fitz, how you doing?" I said, I'm doing great, Bob. I got a question for you." He said, "Okay." I said, "Is it okay if I write the next article for you?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, I would love for you to write the article." And then he goes, "And how much do you want?" And I was 20 and I thought, he said, "Yes, and he's going to give me money." And I was so excited. But then I also kicked myself for the 2 years full of frustrations where I could have been really thriving in my writing career and really genuinely helping people. Instead, I made this poor decision to be a coward and I didn't. And then so from that point on, my mantra has been, and it has stuck with me, if something does not cause bleeding, bruising, or broken bones, go for it. And, you know, I might still get a little bit of hesitation before I pick the phone up and call, but then bleeding, bruising, broken bones comes into my mind and I call every time. And, you know, I don't believe in too much luck. You know, we have to create our own destiny. And I also don't believe in victimhood. You know, I'm pretty much in control of everything that's happened to me for the most part. And that mentality, that learning from your stupid mistakes, it's not about not making stupid mistakes. It's about, okay, how do you get past them? And I've gotten past a lot of them. I'm sure there's some dumb things I still do. Hopefully in 10 years, I'll be able to tell
you all
about
you're human.
Those.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much. I mean, in humanity, you're not going to be perfect, but I'm just wondering, like, did you ever try to unravel that? Like, what is this intimidation I have with calling them? I mean, I'll kick their ass in the ring, but I don't want to call them. Like, did you ever dig down to find out where that came from or, you know, why that's even there?
You know, all I can imagine, it's the generic fear of rejection. Nobody wants to be rejected. And funny, I have a daughter and a son. And with my son, I try to teach him to be a go-getter. And my daughter, I try to teach her to be compassionate and kind. You know, I always thought, I very much put myself in other people's shoes. And when I was in college and high school, I dated a lot. And I'm talking about actual dates, like dinner or lunch, movie, et cetera. And I almost never, ever said no, because I appreciated how much courage it took for a guy to come over and say, "Hey, I like you. I would like to do something with you." And so, I have a respect for people who try, and that goes a long way. Because of watching other people be courageous, you go, okay, you know, I'm going to be courageous. And if somebody tells me no, it's not because they hate me. They just, maybe I'm not their cup of tea or whatever. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say, if I'm not your cup of tea, put a little vodka and stir, you know.
Idea. Why not?
So I'm just wondering, because I was just, you know, that's fascinating to me how the human mind works, right? Because we're like so tenacious and go-getting and doing what we got to do to get things done. And then when it comes to certain areas that maybe we're not so familiar with or have never really written our own article, so we're not too sure how to write it. So that becomes a little bit intimidating, like, I don't know this space, you know. But when you think about it, how many things did you do, Fitz, that you didn't know, right? Like you weren't always doing sports stuff, right? Or you weren't always in a ring fighting, and you weren't always doing races. So there's a lot of new in your life, and then you became also a writer. Why not, right? It's so cool. I'm glad you did that.
Yeah, it's I don't fear opportunities. I get excited about them. And, you know, I might take an opportunity that I've never done before. Someone might say, "Hey, Fitz, can you come do this?" If I haven't done it before, usually I say yes. And then I work hard to prepare and make sure that by the time I stepped up to the plate to take that swing, I am the right girl for the job. You know, it's also having a respect for the people who want to work with you to live up to their expectations or supersede them. So being a workhorse certainly helps.
So let's dig a little bit into the part of your life that I'm sure was one of the biggest fights you've ever had to have, right?
Yeah.
That must have been the cage fight of life. Let's talk about the cancer, if you don't mind going there. Okay, just want to make sure you're comfortable with that. So what was that day? How was that day when they told you that you had cancer?
So I could tell you that particular day was odd, but I already knew I had cancer. So I had a sparkling clean mammogram at the end of December 2018, less than 7 weeks later, at a hotel bathroom at a race weekend, I got out of the shower naked, rubbed my underboob, and found a lump. And I had immediately called the doctor, made the appointments. And so within about a week or so, I had a doctor appointment, a mammogram, an ultrasound where the radiologist says, hey, that mass is suspicious, but you also have several hard swollen lymph nodes we're concerned about. And that to me told me instantly, I have cancer and it's spread. And so and then I had a biopsy the next day. And then when the surgeon called, he said, listen, Fitz, I'm so sorry, but you do indeed have breast cancer. It's already spread to multiple lymph nodes. It's running through you like wildfire. And we have to treat you urgently and aggressively. So I knew it. And when he called, I said, okay. And this is the weird thing. And I know your adult audience will identify with this. My plan, I hadn't told my kids yet. I figured I'm going to make them cry over milk that hasn't spilt yet. I want to have information before I start freaking them out. They were 13 and 15 at the time. My 15-year-old daughter had a college counseling appointment that night. So I get the call at 6. She's got to be at this college meeting at 6:30. Wow. And so I meet there and it was just, I drove her there and it was so bizarre trying to focus on her, literally focusing on her. And then also thinking, oh my God, am I going to live to see her in college? What is this going to be like? That was strange. I don't think his phone call was the most impactful part of my experience, but having to pretend everything was normal for a while was bizarre. Yeah, difficult.
Yeah, I'm sure that was. And so then I don't know how long did it take you to actually, you know, tell the kids, because I mean, you had to be on medication, right? You're going to have to be on chemo or radiation. Oh, yeah. You might lose all of your hair, like all that kind of stuff. So when did that conversation start to take place?
You know, it's so funny. It's in my memoir. I know the dates are in there, but I think it was pretty soon after my husband and I kind of got a lay of the land. And then I think maybe I met with the oncologist first. It was soon after, because I really only had about 2 weeks between diagnosis and starting treatment. But what I did is I took my kids separately. Parker was 13. He's a very quiet, reserved kid. Ginger, 15. She's very emotional. And so I told him first because I knew it would be a more quiet experience. She went into our gym to exercise and I sat him down. I said, bad news, good news. You know, I found a lump, confirmed I do have breast cancer. The great news is I'm curable. I'm going to look a little weird for a while. I'm going to feel kind of bad, but things aren't going to change around here. I'm going to be okay. And he just said, mommy, I think you're going to look so cute bald. And I really appreciated that. It was very sweet. And, and later he told me he definitely thought I was dying. He was like, I was convinced you were a goner, but he stepped it up to support me, which I, you know, what a little gentleman. Right. And then Ginger, I gave her the same spiel and she just wailed. She wailed. She was so scared. Her little heart was broken. And it was a tough night. However, with kids being resilient as they are, it was a very soon after that where they were making fun of mom's bald head. You know, it's just they had school, they had their activities, they had their friends. Yeah. And, you know, I made an extreme attempt not to include them into any of my misery. Did they see me sick? They did. But I never took them to appointments. I never sat them down next to me while I was getting pumped full of chemo. I just thought, I'll let them live in their little happy place and I'll do my best to make it look like I'm as good as I can.
So what was your game on moment with you when you were alone, right? Because I think that's the hardest part when you know that you're going through chemotherapy, that this is really scary and that you want to see your babies graduate and you want to be there and you want to do all of that. So what were some tactics that you used to kind of get through those times? Because the good thing, I think, is that you also had that amazing experience behind you of being able to be in the cage, being able to be in a ring, being able to really fight, right?
Yeah, I would say that all of my failures up until that point became my best friend. All of the struggles, all of the anything that was awful, you know, it steals you. It's one of those things you wish you didn't have it. I remember running for various offices or trying out for sports teams in high school and getting cut. I'd come home crying. And my mom said, it builds character. I would say, I have enough character. I just want to play volleyball or whatever. But she was right. She was right. You know, having hardships is good for you. It makes you better. And, you know, by the time I started having these many experiences that just scared the bejesus out of me, I got in my own head. And where I find so many people, they fail because they talk down to themselves.
Yeah.
You're fat, you're ugly, you're not smart enough, they're better than you, whatever it is. And then you don't even try. And for me, that girl in my head, she kept saying, you know what? You have done so many hard things in the past. You've raised two great children. You've built a global business. You used to be a kickboxer. You can do hard things. You got this. And so I was terrified. And I had my treatment plan. I had 15 months of chemo, which is a very long time to have chemo.
That is a long time.
I had 33 rounds of radiation and surgery. And so I did a treatment triathlon, we call it. But my worst side effect of all of it at the time was that I was violently ill. I was so sick. It was, imagine living with a tequila hangover every day for a year and a half. But I kept going. You know, my career, I had built this career that I adored. And I thought, F that, I'm not letting cancer take that. Cancer can steal my hair, can steal some of my good feelings. It is not taking me off of those stages where I had earned my rightful spot on these incredible stages with extraordinary people. And it also wasn't going to take my time with my kids. You know, I had made these commitments and, you know, not all of my commitments held true. I spent nights in the hospital I didn't want to and so forth. But the decisions that I made were, I'm just not going to let it take these things. And so I would board planes. I boarded over 30 planes out of Gainesville, Florida during my treatment to go
fly
across the country. And I would just get up. I would be glossy eyed. My husband would have seen how sick I was. And now I'm at TSA and he would just look into my glossy eyes and he would say, how are you going to do this? And I would just say, I just am. And I just did. Sometimes just when you want something, you do it, which also, you know, there's no Marvel in me. I'm not a superhero. I'm just a girl who made decisions. Right. So when I see other people making not good decisions, right? When people bailing on things or cowarding out of things, it's really frustrating to me. When people choose to be unfit, I think, for the love of God, your health is so important. Wait till someone looks at you in the eye and says, hey, you've got cancer, or you have type 2 diabetes, or you have this. All you want is health. And then you start regretting. You start thinking, gee whiz, I wish I would have, could have, you know? So it's difficult for me to not be super frustrated with people that are failing themselves. You know, I kept going underneath any circumstance. And again, I'm not the best of everything or anything, but I did do some really extraordinary things. And they're decisions that are repeatable. They're duplicatable, which is why I wrote the books to help other people.
Yeah, and that's really so cool. That's really so cool, Fitz. And you know, that's one of the things that I have neglected for a long time was my health, but not my career, but not my children, but not my, you know, but my health I did. And to the point where I had to like finally just leave a really beautiful six-figure job because of all of the autoimmune conditions and all the illnesses. And I'm like, okay, Neen, what are we doing? What are we doing, Neen? What are we doing? You know, so I started to work on that. And so now I walk every day and I exercise and I've lost some weight. I'm on that road. But I had to wait for the point where I was almost like couldn't barely get out of bed from my autoimmune conditions attacking my joints and muscles. Right. At some point, so you got to wake up.
You're absolutely right. So I love biographies. I love memoirs. And I listen to them on audiobooks while I drive, while I put on makeup, while I do whatever. And I'm listening to the comedian Leslie Jones, and her book is called Leslie Effing Jones. And she talks about her mother who had some severe health issues. I forget what she had. Anyway, she has some severe health issues and she continued smoking and she continued drinking and she did not do the thing she needed to do to undo those severe health issues. I think her mother was 38 when she had a stroke and ended up being in bed forever. That was it. That was basically when she said goodbye to her mother. And she's very clear in this book. She says, I resent my mother for not turning that ship around. She had choices, but she kept smoking and she kept drinking and she kept doing all the wrong things. And so for the parents out there who think, oh, I'm so noble, I'm not exercising, I don't take care of my nutrition because I'm so noble. Okay, you leave your kid orphans because you made horrible decision. We're doing straight talk right here.
Yeah,
that's on you. You are being a horrific parent if you are not watching what you put in your mouth and moving your body in the name of them. You commit slow suicide on their behalf. That's a terrible thing to do. A terrible burden ahead, to leave
Fitz.
Them with.
Go ahead, Fitz. Where's my I wish I had another mic to drop up on here.
I mean, I really, all of these people are like, well, I can't because of my business. I'm the breadwinner. Okay. Let's watch you get a heart attack, buddy. What happens to that business?
Right.
In a heartbeat. So all of these lame excuses people make to put off doing what they should be doing. Enough. You're hearing it straight from me and know that I'm taking my finger and I'm poking you in the chest. Yep. Get your stuff together. Your health matters not only to you, but to everybody who loves you.
Right. I mean, and the truth is too, is you know what? We're also not just hearing it from somebody who's kind of like, you know, saying it because they're in fitness, but somebody who's actually also had to go through this horrific time of cancer, because let's be real. It is not fun. I had a sister-in-law who had cancer too. It is super hard on your mind, on your body, on your spirit. It is hard. It's not, that's a real battle. Like it really is. And some of us, and I'll put myself in that category, who are overweight and don't have cancer, thank God, and don't have high blood pressure and don't have cholesterol and everything. What the hell am I waiting for it to come so that then I could say, oh, now I'm sick. Girlfriend.
So this is the message there. Nobody gets out unscathed. None of us. Right. You will either get ill, you will either get injured, or you will become ill at some point. Prepare your body to do battle today, because you will recover and rebound so much more efficiently and effectively if you are healthy and fit going into any sort of crisis. It's funny, when I was through the meanest portion of my chemo. So I had the 6 rounds of a nightmare concoction followed by 10 months of something horrible, but still less, way less bad. Anyways, when I go into round number 6 of the nightmare, I see my doctor and he says, Fitz, I'm so proud of you. Now, mind you, I'm sitting in his room. I'm not only bald, my eyelashes are gone, my eyebrows are gone, and my digestive system's been through a cheese grater. I was like so sick. My fingernails had ripped off. I had welts and I was a mess. And so Dr. Gordon says, you've done so great. It's like, what? I'm not so great. I've not done great. And he said, Fitz, I am so proud of you. You've really done fantastic. And I said, Dr. Gordon, I don't understand. Every iota of my body has been obliterated. Why are you saying this? He said, Fitz, I'm not saying you haven't suffered. You have suffered tremendously. However, if you were not so healthy and fit coming into this and committed to fitness along the way to do whatever you could, when you could, he said, you would have been in a way worse condition. You spent one night in the hospital. You likely would have spent a month in the hospital. You might have had a feeding tube, which might have led to infection. He said, not only have you not been hospitalized for a month, you have traveled the country having more adventure than most healthy people do in an entire year. He said, Fitz, I pumped you full of the meanest drugs I give anybody. And you have continued on traveling and all this stuff. So he says, I'm not saying you haven't suffered, but know that your commitment to health and fitness has paid off in spades. And so that was a real light bulb moment, because I've always been so passionate and a big believer in fitness. And then there's all those people that are like, oh, well, if you exercise and you got cancer, then I don't need to do it. Okay, well, no, there's babies in the hospital and they didn't do anything to deserve cancer either, right? So Lord knows what I did or didn't do to bring on breast cancer. However, because I was already on top of my health, it was a way less horrible experience. So whether you get hit by a car or struck by lightning or you're diagnosed with cancer, if you have already committed to health and fitness, you will be better off. You will be so much better prepared to fight whatever battle that lays ahead. And I encourage you to start taking that seriously.
Yeah, I love that you're a straight talker about it too. You're not mincing any words. And I think it's because we need to like have it not be minced. I'm be honest, right? Like I don't, you know, I don't particularly sign up for like things like the new movements of loving your body, of loving your body overweight and all that. I don't sign up to none of that shit. And I'm overweight and I'm not sitting here like, oh, it's just awesome. No, it's not bullshit. No. Get it together. And I'm talking to myself too. Yes. Right? So I love that. I love that you're like that. Like, listen, and honestly, when you say that, and when you do that to me, I feel love. I feel compassion. Good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, I don't want you to fucking die over this bullshit. Like, correct. Let's get it together. You know, like, that's what I hear you saying, right? That's what I hear.
So here's the deal. I do. I love people too much to coddle them. I respect you too much to coddle you. And the other thing I want everyone out there to know is that fitness is attainable for you. I can make it understandable. I can make it fun. But no, it is attainable for everybody. There's nobody out there that's beyond Reprieve. There's nobody out there who can't do better. And it's not about signing up for a marathon next week. What it is about doing something today that makes you 1% better than you were yesterday. Can you do push-ups against the wall? Can you go for a walk around your block? Can you, I don't know, jump up and down and dance with your kids? I bet you probably can. Or whatever it is for you, just push that envelope a little further each time. And eventually you'll be in a body that you feel really great about, a body that looks good, performs well, and feels wonderful. Those are the goals. And certainly feel and performing well are the top two.
You know, I think it's also because we live in a microwave freaking society, right? So everybody thinks that everything has to be so damn fast. And so we all think like, oh, I went on a diet for 2 weeks. It didn't work. For two weeks and it didn't work. Wow. What a shocker. You know, like that's how we think of everything. Fitness, career, all of it. Romance, the whole.
Yeah. You know, what's so great is I like doing things I'm bad at. It's a real... It just feels good to me to try something new and be the worst and then all of a sudden be okay and, you know, maybe get better to best. I started taking guitar lessons about 3 months ago and it has been so rewarding. And I tell you what, the sounds that I made on this thing for the first few weeks were pretty abysmal, but now I can strum along with a Garth Brooks song. I can strum along with Taylor Swift or, you know, it's nice to just make progress in something/anything. So besides fitness, and I want people to pursue nutrition and exercise for sure, but go pick up a new hobby. I mean, grownups don't, the learning and the fun learning doesn't have to end. And that personal time is really good for you and everybody else. So whether it's an instrument or it's an art or a game, or I've just been recruited for a Dancing with the Stars competition, not the one on ABC TV, which would be great, but it's a fundraiser. And so I'm learning the jive right now, which is
so fun.
So classic. Yeah, it's a good time. So, you know, go and learn square dancing or some, there's options everywhere. You just have to, pursue them. And instead of being nervous about being the worst, be excited about showing up and being horrible and then, you know, making progress.
Yeah. Yeah. And the same thing goes with fitness too. Like if you're somebody who doesn't really know too much about fitness or haven't gotten into it, it can be very fun. I'm just getting into it. Like I said, I haven't taken care of myself in a long time. So now that I am, I'm actually enjoying it a lot and I feel stronger. Like I'm not like wearing down a little bit faster. I feel like I'm going further than I used to, like that kind of thing. So it's really fun. So tell me what you're doing now. So I know that you said you wanted to do like, you know, hit people at a bigger scale. So what is it that you are doing? You talk to me about that.
Yeah. So the things I do, I probably announce 30 plus running events a year. So I bounce around America, making happy noise for people who are already committed to walking and running. We use the word running loosely in the racing community because so many people are just walking exclusively and taking their time, but going the distance and we love them. I do a lot of that. I love keynotes. Because it's the opportunity to actually change people. It's the opportunity to impart wisdom, get people excited, compel them to do better and be better. And I don't really get down with the speakers who put up a PowerPoint and then read it in a monotone voice. My keynotes are so fun. So even if I have 500 people in a room, I feel like by the time I'm done, I've met everybody, we've engaged, we've had fun. I love the laughter and the camaraderie and I love the head nodding. I love when I can get a whole room of people saying, yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Yes. I'm going to take action on my own behalf. So a lot of that, the books are doing great. I wouldn't go back and rehab cancer if given the chance, but
I can't.
So I've made lemonade by helping so many people, survivors and active patients with the Cancer Comeback Series. And what else do I do? I have a large school running program called the Morning Mile. It's in about 400 schools worldwide. And that's another mass impact program. It's the only program in the entire world that invites every child every day, plus their family and the faculty to exercise. So many of my schools have hundreds of people out on the field in the morning. They just do 30 minutes of laps. They've got music. We've got rewards. And yeah, that's probably the most important thing I've ever done. Because if you can get children into the habit of starting their day in an active way, and know, they'll know that it feels good on their body, it feels good for their mind, then hopefully they'll continue it into adulthood. And they'll never get to that oh crap stage where oh, I need to lose weight, or oh, I need to start. Hopefully it'll just be something that they do.
That they do. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's an advantage. And also the fact that you're getting them away from like the screens and stuff that at that time as well, which is super powerful. So on your keynotes, are you speaking to like people about health? Are you speaking to them about careers? Are you speaking to them about movement? What are you speaking to them about? What's like the message?
All of the above. And so I always intertwine the value of health and fitness through all of my presentations. Now, sometimes it plays a larger role in the topic than others. But yeah, I have a presentation called First Impressions and Lasting Impressions. And I tell you what, if you are in an image-oriented career, like real estate, for example, where you're putting your face on every billboard and every park bench and every business card, people look at you. Forget real estate. You can be in any career. Know that the people working for you or the people working with you, when they see you in less than 7 seconds, they have made a very distinct opinion of you, right? Their first impression of you. Is it, wow, she's a go-getter. Look at her. She looks confident and powerful. I want to work with her. Or, I don't know. She could toe the load. She doesn't look very energetic and very healthy, and that's probably not someone I want to bring on my team or work with. So is that fair? Does that allow people to absorb your education, your certifications, your knowledge, your charisma? Not necessarily, but your health and fitness definitely matters. And it's whether you stand up straight or not, right? So that's a popular presentation. I love giving health during hardship because, you know, for most corporations, they start losing employees' productivity. And the employees show up less often when anything hits the fan at home. So whether they had a fire in their kitchen, or they're getting a divorce, or the kids are struggling in school, or their grandpa has cancer, that's when things start hitting the fan and that employee lets themselves go because they think they're helping everybody else. And then the work performance really suffers as well. So, you know, can we create a workforce where they are committed to health no matter what? And again, we discussed this earlier, but everybody's better off when we take care of ourselves, right? Our whole circle surrounding us. So my message is, if your house burns down, take your family, hold hands, go walk around the block and cry, but walk.
Right.
If somebody's sick, okay, get down on the ground and stretch. And you know, you just have to keep going. And you'll do better. You'll do better through the hardship when you're committed to your health. It really is a solution for most things, and too many people turn it over. So yeah, I talk about a lot of things. Most of my presentations are custom made. A business like Disney, Oakley, Tropicana, Office Depot. I've associations, right? A lot of corporate associations when they have their conferences, they say we want our members to know this. You know, this is what the theme of our conference. Can you cater a presentation to that? And so the answer is yes. And I just love it.
Yeah. Well, I love it. And I love you. I think you're amazing, Fitz. And I love what you're doing out here. I love how you're kicking ass and taking names. It's just awesome.
You know what?
I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like if we went to high school together, we would have been besties. We would have hung out.
I think so too. And I would have been in better shape because somebody would have been pushing my ass around. So I would.
Well, you would like this. I was in less good shape in high school. I was 40 pounds heavier in high school. Someone needed to kick my tail around. That might have been you.
Oh man, but it's really, really cool. I really have to say, I love your energy. I love what you're putting out here. And I know that, you know, like I said, a lot of people that listen to my podcast are leaders and are CEOs and things. So I'm really hoping that they're leaning into this right now because they need to be bringing this to their organizations. And the reason I say that is because I feel like there's a lot of people that are left through the cracks that nobody's looking at that really need it. And you know, there's big conferences and stuff out there that people can be bringing bringing you on, like really inspiring other people and really showing us that there's a different way to look at things. And there's no better voice, I feel, to do it than yours, because you've been there, done that, and wrote a book about it. Okay. So
thank you.
You've already, you're doing your thing, and I'm super proud of you. And I'm glad that you came on to speak to my audience. And before I wrap this up though, I do want people to follow you and to, you know, contact you for like big gigs and all that. So where can people find you?
Oh, thanks, Nina. So my home base for everything is fitsness.com. That's F-I-T-Z as in zebra, N-E-S-S.com. Everything's there. And okay. You can hit the contact button. I'm also at Fitsness on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. I'm busy on LinkedIn. And so what I'd love is, you know, if people follow me, I promise great content in return. But what I'd prefer is for y'all to reach out and say, I heard you on Nina Perez's podcast. And I'd like to say hello, because I'd much rather have friends than followers, for sure.
Yeah, same. Thank you so freaking much for like making my day. I really, really enjoyed this conversation. I enjoyed spending this time with you, and you really just gave me a lot to think about, seriously, in just this conversation. So well, I'm making sure that even if I'm crying, I'm walking. I'm making sure that if I'm doing something, I'm stretching. Like honestly, as you're talking, I'm like, I really have no damn excuse. I really have no damn excuse. So thank you so much for bringing that to my forehead, to my front. I like that. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Nina.
All right. Thank you guys so much. I told you guys would love her, right? Best humans on the planet. And Fitz is definitely one that I'm glad is on this planet. So make sure that you guys follow her, share her content, make sure that you inspire other people to keep moving. And also, if you're someone who is listening, who knows that you are part of a big organization or something, have her come talk over there. She's going to kick your asses, and she's going to make you guys really rise up to the cream, right? Rise to the top of the occasion. So thank you guys so much for being here. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Like, share, subscribe, all that great stuff. And I'll make sure to bring all of her stuff right below here so that you can click and get in contact with her. Until next time.